We have Exodus 32 with sections of the chapter for our verses today. When the people saw that Moses was so long in coming down from the mountain, they gathered around Aaron and said, "Come, make us gods who will go before us. As for this fellow Moses who brought us up out of Egypt, we don't know what has happened to him." Aaron answered them, "Take off the gold earrings that your wives, your sons, and your daughters are wearing and bring them to me." So all the people took off their earrings and brought them to Aaron. He took what they handed him and made it into an idol cast in the shape of a calf, fashioning it with a tool. Then they said, "These are your gods, Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Go down, because your people, whom you brought up out of Egypt, have become corrupt. They have been quick to turn away from what I commanded them and have made themselves an idol cast in the shape of a calf. They have bowed down to it and sacrificed to it and have said, 'These are your gods, Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt.' I have seen these people," the Lord said to Moses, "and they are a stiff-necked people." So God bless the reading of his word.
Amen. Thanks be to God. So I will tell you that I have had a really hard time with this morning's sermon. I picked this scripture several weeks back. I've been thinking about it. I've been making notes. I've been working on it in the way that I normally do, which is kind of a scattered, sporadic way. But it just didn't seem to be coming together for me. And I think, and normally I can look at this passage and say, those stupid Israelites, they knew better. What is this all this about? And I think the reason that it was really bothering me this week is I'm just feeling oppressed by everything that is happening in the world at all levels. I mean, there is just awful, awful stuff all around in the world, in the country, in the state, in the church, in my own life, just stuff happening. And it's oppressive. It just keeps coming at me more and more and more. And it just, you know, how am I supposed to preach about it? It's like all these awful biblical stories are coming to life all over again. I've been reading in my daily meditation time through the books of Kings and Chronicles, and it's all about these awful kings and the awful things that happened. And every once in a while, there's a good one, and there's a moment of hope, and then everything falls apart again. It's like we haven't really progressed very far in thousands of years. We're still doing the same thing. And I will confess to you that I was not particularly paying attention to much of anything else other than all these problems until it came to my notice in an email that on Friday that there was going to be an eclipse on Saturday. And I thought, oh, well, you know, I might want to think about that. I might want to check it out. I looked at it and I was like, wait a minute, we are right in the path of this thing. And it's happening tomorrow morning, and it's right here. And so I dropped everything. I mean, I've got a week that you wouldn't believe coming up ahead of me, but I just dropped everything. We're gonna check this out. And so Dick made our very high-tech viewing equipment. You know, he got an old cereal box and poked a pinhole in it. And so we were all set with our appropriate safe viewing equipment. And right there, our front yard was the absolute perfect place. No place better in the entire world for us to see that eclipse, because we're up on the mountain. We've got a clear view. There were no clouds. We're facing east. Everything was absolutely perfect. The eclipse was absolutely perfect. I've never seen anything like that before. I will probably never see anything like that again. And I saw it yesterday because I stopped and looked. And that was very refreshing for me. Okay, let's look at something that's working really well. Something that I have no control. The only control that I had was to choose to drop everything else and pay attention to that astronomical event. And God put everything else in place. God put the sun and the moon and the earth and me all in a line so that I could see that. Now, I'm not the only one who could see that. I'm not the only one who was in a good place to see it. And I'm certainly not the only one who had good equipment. So I know people had all kinds of professional equipment for seeing that and for taking pictures of it. But it was a reset for me. And so then I come back and I look at the scripture and I see all this stuff that's happening. While Moses is still on the mountain, somebody is trying to text me and I don't want to hear that. So we've been talking about tests. We've been talking about the fact that the people who have been rescued from slavery in Egypt, who have come through the wilderness, who have run out of water but had water miraculously come to them, are now here. They have tested God. God has failed, has met their needs and passed the test. And then Moses went up to the mountain to get the list of do's and don'ts, the Ten Commandments. That is God's test for the people. And now we see God is still giving this word, these 10 words to Moses. He is still up on the mountain. The people have said, you go up there, you leave us down here, you talk to God, and then come tell us, because we don't want to be up there. We don't want to have anything to do with this. We're staying down here. And so he's still up there. And while he's still up there, they say, we don't know what happened to him. We need a leader. We need a leader because he's gone. And we need something else. And so Aaron does his thing. And in this one incident, look at the commandments that they break. You shall have no other God before me. You shall not make an idol. I am the Lord your God. And there were probably quite a few other commandments that got broken too, because there's quite a wild party around that golden calf, which, you know, most of our pictures show it as being pretty big, but I imagine it was probably, you know, maybe like this big at the most. I mean, this is made out of their earrings, which is probably really thin gold. And so, you know, just a little bitty calf. So they have all these glorious works of God that they've experienced. And here they are saying to this little golden calf, oh, you are our gods. You brought us out of Egypt. You did all this thing that they had just made. And just want to say, they're so stupid. And whose fault was this? Was it Moses' fault for being gone? Well, God told him to go and the people told him to go, so probably not. Was it God's fault? Well, everybody likes to blame things on God, but no, I don't think it was God's fault. Was it Aaron's fault? Well, Aaron certainly had some culpability here. Oh, just bring me all your gold. We ever heard that before? Just bring me all your gold. And then he proceeded to do what he did to make this golden calf. And he had some excusing and backtracking to do later about that, but that's another story. So he bears some blame in this. And then there's the people. You know, they told Moses to go up to the mountain for them. And now they're saying, oh, we don't know where he is. We just need somebody else we can follow. We'll follow whatever. And so they just go right along with the plan. And then they say, oh, yes, look at this thing. It's so pretty. This is our new savior. Everybody's got a little bit of blame here. And I'm really good at saying they were stupid. They shouldn't have done that. They knew better. They had seen better. They had plenty of evidence of God. And then the other part of this is the other half of the story where God and Moses are up on the mountain and God looks down and sees all this wild partying, sees this golden calf and says to Moses, these people of yours are really misbehaving. This is like two parents up there. Your people are misbehaving. And Moses comes back with, you know, your people whom you brought up out of the land of Egypt. No, that's God to Moses. Moses to God is, Why does your wrath burn against your people, who you brought out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? It's like God and Moses are blaming each other for even bringing the people there. It's like mom and dad, well, you gave birth to him. Well, yeah, but that was your fault. So we have this back and forth. And the bottom line really doesn't come in the part that was read. It comes after that. This was a fairly long passage. And we have God and Moses having this conversation. And God is pretty upset. God is angry because his people are misbehaving. They know better and they're not doing better. Just like the parent with the report card. I'm really disappointed. This is not who you really are. You can do better. And ultimately, that's where God lands. Not with, I am so angry with these people, which he was, right and rightfully so. But verse 14 in this same chapter 32 says, the Lord changed his mind about the disaster that he planned to bring on his people. Doesn't mean that they were going to escape punishment, but God chose not to bring disaster upon them. So when I read this, and when I read so many parts of scripture, especially parables, and so much of scripture is a parable, whether it's phrased that way or not, I tend to put myself in the place of the landowner in the parable, or Moses in this passage, or one of the other authority figures, or maybe I should just say the person who's doing it right. I tend to feel like the other brother in the prodigal of the prodigal son. Well, I just stayed home and did everything I was supposed to do, so how come I'm not getting the reward? And that's not fair, because I am just as likely to be one of those partiers dancing around the golden calf. I am just as likely to be the person who knows better but doesn't do better for whatever reason. I mean, I could have been preparing for this coming week. A lot of the times last week that I was doing something else that seemed more important to me, like pulling weeds, and that's okay. It's okay for me to do that. It's also important that I recognize that I have a choice. I always have a choice what I'm going to do. And yes, sometimes I'm in the position of Moses, and sometimes I'm in the position of the Egyptians, the Israelites, who had escaped from the Egyptians and forgot all about that, who had been given water and manna and forgot all about that, and just fell into the mob mentality of the moment. But ultimately, God changed God's mind about the disaster that was due, that would have been a just punishment, because I don't want that punishment for me either. And so I am grateful that God changes God's mind and says, you can do better. You are better. And I'm going to give you another chance. And then, just as a reminder, God sends us a miracle. God sends us the flowers of fall. God sends us an eclipse in the sky. God sends us an encouraging word from another person. God says, okay, I'm going to change this F to an incomplete. I'm going to give you another chance. Because that's the way God is. That's grace. Thanks be to God. Amen.